We are on page Peches. We're up to the last paragraph on the bottom. The last paragraph on the bottom on page Peches. Call me shenisqoitet im adam. Anyone that has a fight with his fellow man, higidulav mashalo higidmeyolam, and he reveals in this fight the person speaks lashon hara. Okay, that's basically what it means. It means over here yimagid means you tell about your this fellow man to other people information that they were not aware of. So now the speaker is suspect. In other words, if someone comes over to me and says gossip, I got to tell you a great story. I got to tell you some gossip. You know what happened? You know what I read in the newspaper? It's very likely it's true. Because you have no agenda. You have no negius. The reason why you're telling me this information is because it's just gossip. Or maybe you're telling him for a good reason. He's a danger to society. Don't let your kids near him. Don't lend him money. Don't enter into business with him. So you have no reason to tell this to me. You have no negios. You have no ulterior motive. Therefore, I have to be suspicious. I have to be kadeo v'chashteo. But if the person that's telling you this information, that don't go into business with him, do not lend him money, do not let your children near him, he hates him because it's well known that these two people are at each other's throats, then totally ignore what he says. And the question is, really? Should he totally ignore? He tells me, don't let your kids near him? Really? Should I totally ignore what he says just because these two people are known to have a fight? If they're not fighting, then yeah, I have to take precautions. I cannot want to believe it, but I have to be responsible, take precautions. But what happened if the person who told me this lashon hara is the person that hates him? So then, what are the parameters? Because obviously, the reason why he's telling this to me is because he hates him. It's not just because he's a danger. You never heard these things before. Al tam in loy. So the Sefer Chassidim says in such an instance, don't take precautions at all. It's interesting, maybe, okay, let's start with Gedaliah ben Achikam. Gedaliah ben Achikam, he was criticized by Chazal for not taking precautions that his enemy, that Yochanan was going to kill him, or Yishmael, that Yishmael was going to kill him. He did not, he says, Loshoin Hara. He did not take precautions. Why not? Why didn't he do the responsible thing? If they're telling him that he has a political enemy that wants to assassinate him, why didn't Gedaliah ben Achikam, why did he not take precautions? Maybe you can say that the people that told it to him, to make up something was totally not necessarily true, but Yadim B'la Mitzchus, was the people that told him this information, that Yishmael is going to assassinate you, he knew that that person hated Yishmael. There was a quarrel between Yishmael and the individual that revealed to Gedaliah that Yishmael was planning to assassinate Gedaliah. In such an instance, you're not even allowed to take precautions according to the Sefer Chassidim, because then it's certainly the reason why he's telling you this information is because it's pure lashon hara. He really hates him.
Are you allowed to investigate?
Well, today, obviously, we live in a different world today. Today, I cannot imagine that this halacha of the Sefer Chassidim would be fulfilled in its purest sense. There has to be a balance, obviously. Someone says to you, this guy is a predator, right? He's a children. So, and the guy that told this to you, you know for a fact, hates his guts. He hates him. But he told me something very disturbing. Are you going to let your children near him? You know, he only told me because he obviously he hates him very, very much. But I don't know. Obviously, every situation is different.
But if you investigate, you ask
right. So should you even investigate? Should you even investigate? What are you investigating for? By investigating, you're spreading lashon hara. You're making his life miserable by investigating. People want to hear these things. They begin to wonder. You can be spreading motzei shemra. I don't know the answer. Every case is different. He is, though, giving us a general rule, which is very interesting to understand. You learn chafetz chaim with the whole lashon hara. You always learn the yisoid. If someone tells you lashon hara, you're not allowed. The most difficult halacha in lashon hara, by far, it stands head and shoulders above every other halacha in shulchan aruch. If someone tells you lashon hara, the rule is you're not allowed to believe it. And if you believe it, you go straight to, okay, don't skip go. You're not allowed. It's life. However, you are permitted and you're obligated to take precautions. And someone tells you, this guy is a ganav. I'm not allowed to believe it. Not allowed to believe it. Chas v'shalom is a tzaddik, tzaddik, tzaddik. 5 minutes later, he comes over and he says, can I borrow $10? Can I borrow $100? I have to take precautions. It's a contradiction. How could... It's a contradiction. If you don't believe it, why then are you obligated even to take precautions? This is an impossible thing to do. And yet, Chazal demanded from us, the whole Chavetz Chaim is all this, the Yisoid of Sefer Chavetz Chaim. You're not allowed to believe Lashon Hara, but you're allowed to take precautions. Correct. Correct. Correct, absolutely. There are issues. They tell you. Well, there it's for toels. There it's a little bit different. There it's when someone is telling you toels. I'm telling you this information for your benefit. Here you just gossip. There's gossip out there in the street. He's on the gossip list. He's a ganef. That's the gossip.
So you don't lend him money.
Oh, so now are you allowed to believe it? No. But if he wants to borrow money, are you allowed to take precautions? Yes.
Say no.
No.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it's right. You said you have to. Every situation is different.
Maybe
it's not out.
A
star, out. Exactly.
Yeah,
that's not. We're not working out. We're not working here on the details. We're looking at concepts. This is the general rule. Along comes Sefer Chassidim when he has a new rule which you don't hear about, and that is: who told you this lashon hara? Who is the one that told you this is the ganef? If it's the guy in the street that doesn't even know him from Adam, okay, that's right. Don't believe it. But you have a responsibility now to take precautions. Very hard to balance the two. But if the person that's told this to you is known to be this fellow's arch enemy, then, according to the Sefer Chassidim, not only are you not allowed to believe it, you should not even take precautions. Okay, that's a lot to swallow, right? That's a lot to swallow. Don't even take precautions.
What's the downside of
not taking precautions?
Of taking.
Because by doing so, you are inadvertently sometimes spreading more lashon hara. You are causing this person more unnecessary pain. I would have lent him $100, no big deal. But now that you told me, by his arch enemy, someone told me that he's a ganav, I'm not giving him $100 without a lawyer. I'm not giving him $100 without having a very detailed discussion with him, what exactly do you need the money for? So by taking precautions, you're making life difficult for him, for you, for other people. It's not so simple. If I didn't hear any bad word, yeah, you need $100, you're a nice guy, I see you every single day, I know you, yeah, here's $100, I trust you. Now someone told me that you're a ganef. Oh, I don't believe it. He's a tzaddik. But I'm a choy to take precautions. Who told me he's a ganef? His enemy told me he's a ganef. So according to Sefer Chassidim, don't take any precautions. If you would have yesterday given him $100 without a blink, give him today $100 without blinking your eyes. Today, is anyone today going to do that? Kadev v'chashdeu is exactly what he's saying. It's only when the person who told you is not his enemy. That's what we said from the Chofetz Chaim. Only when he's not his enemy. He's in the average person off the street walks in and says, I heard some gossip today that so-and-so is a ganef. 10 minutes later, that so-and-so shows up and says, can I borrow $100? Kabdeyu va'achashteyu. Along comes the Sefer Chassidim and says, who told you that he stole, that he's a ganef? This man's enemy. Oh, is his enemy? Of course he's going to say he's a ganef.
The man's victim, though.
Well, the victim, fine. The victim, it's all the same. The victim is the enemy.
Maybe
so,
they're right. Yeah.
That's right.
That's the whole point, you know, the fact that they're enemies or maybe he is right.
So the Sefer Chassidim is coming to Paskin Halacha.
And it goes round and round.
The Sefer Chassidim is coming to Paskin Halacha and says, no, that's the Halacha. The Halacha is, in this case, Kadir V'Achashir does not apply. Does not apply. And I told you, do we pass like everything that it says in Sefer Chassidim? No. Okay, that I told you many times. We don't pass like everything that it says in Sefer Chassidim. But he's presenting a concept that is very logical. It's very true. And he holds a halacha. Al tamin lo. Don't believe him at all. Klol shel davar. Eskol hadver mashe yidabru al tit libcha. Whatever an enemy says, don't even believe. Ela se atzmecha kimamin v'loy tani. Now here already he's going on to say, okay, he's coming over here to backtrack a little bit,
yeah.
That I guess you have to know when he's not, because he starts off as an enemy. Now he comes off and he's all of a sudden he starts talking the classic halacha, which does not apply to an enemy. Kimaimin, I believe he's a ganav, v'loy tamin. L'ish mahana es chaveroi, to a person that is mahana es chaveroi, does benefit. V'umeitiv l'daber toivoy salav. We're done. We're done. This halacha is now over. Okay, so these are the general rules. It's a little bit vague. That's a lot of the things say for Chassidim are like this, where the Girsois, as I mentioned, they have a whole sefer just on the different Girsois. It's not even so clear. The Girs that we have is the complete Girsa. There's been a lot of corruption of the text, but he mentions a lot of ideas together. An enemy tells you information, al tamin, and then he tells you a klal. I think the klal is going on a regular person. I think it's not a contradiction. I think what we have to do over here is the first line is discussing the enemy. Period. There's a dot. Now we're discussing a general rule with regard to a person who reveals information, and the one that reveals the information is not an enemy. A person comes and tells you information that so and so is a ganef. Do not believe. Elo. Like you said before, now, new concept, a new halacha. L'ish mahane es chaveroi, v'meitiv l'daber toivois olav al tamin. Let us say the person that's telling you is a person that does benefit for you. He's mahane, and his meitiv, he's always saying good things, l'daber olav toivois al tamin. If he says lashnor, do not believe, ki shema b'shvil hana. Al Asher Mahane Oisai Diber Olaf.
That makes sense. He's doing them good and he's talking about him.
L'ish Mahane Eschaveroi, v'hu meitiv l'daber toivois olaf al tamin. Don't believe what? Don't believe the recipient? I think the recipient.
You know, never tells Lashon Hara, and this is a piece, maybe you should believe him. That's the point.
He's
honorable usually.
Okay, I think what he's saying is the old var from the Chassam Sofer, many of the Gedolei Yisrael, where the Baal Abbas caused him grief, and he said, "Why is he causing me so many problems? I don't remember that I ever did him a taiva. Okay, I don't remember I ever did him a taiva. Why is he causing me? It's very natural that when someone gives you so much, someone supports you, you come to hate them." To resent the fact that they support you, like you told me, the first day you took a course in psychology 101, you walked in and the professor said that don't you hate your mother, don't you hate her with a sinas modas? Whole class was blah blah blah. She does everything for you. What has your mother not done for you? And there's a lot of truth to that. When someone is so good to you, you come to resent it because you recognize a human being has a need to be independent, to be a giver, not a taker. And when you're constantly in the matzav where you're a taker, it comes a point in time where there's a degree of resentment. Is that what he's saying over here? A person who is on the receiving end comes to hate the giver. United States, think about it, in the United States, there's such intense hatred for government. Why? There's no government in the world that does so much for its citizens. Okay, what country in the world does so much for their citizens? They give them everything. Whatever you can possibly need, the United States of America will do for its citizens.
They want more.
What?
They want even more.
They want more?
Yeah.
I don't know they want, but and yet the hatred they have for the people, half the country, is just incredible. Is it part of the psychology? Is this element also true? I don't know.
If you feel beholden to someone
who's so good to you,
makes you feel inferior to that person, and there is resentment.
How does the mind work? The mind is a very complicated, tool. We have really no clue yet of how deep it goes. How do we fool ourselves our entire lives thinking one way, that everything that's happening is because of a certain reason, but we're behaving in a certain way, but maybe we're just fooling ourselves.
Well, if we could accept what we're taught, our that would eliminate...
It's an uphill battle. Exactly. So we're finding an uphill battle.
In the workplace.
Exactly. Entitlement. Entitlement. They were never taught the principle of Hakara Satoyev.
It's nice to get a day off. You're getting a pension.
Hakara Satoyev. They were never taught the principle. Is this what he seems to say? Maybe this is what he's saying. He's saying very, very deep, very profound. Let's read the words one more time. Le'ish Mahane Eschaveroi. Concerning a man, an individual who does benefits for his fellow man. V'meitiv l'daber toivai solov. And he is, I'm reading it a little bit creatively, and this person is always good to say good things about him. I'm adding words in now. What happens now?
When he speaks against it.
When he speaks against it. It's not really what he's saying. It's not really what he's saying. I think what he means over here is he's saying good things now. So he don't believe the good news. Why can't you believe good? All right, let's go back to what I said before. And now he says, it seems like he's saying good things. Oh, this fellow, he'll do anything for you in the world. He's such a good person. Why don't you go ask him to lend you $100? You need money? You need a type of gold. Go to him. He'll give you the money. He'll give you the money. Don't believe him. The only reason why he's saying that he's so generous is because he's on the receiving end. So therefore, he has no choice but to say nice things. But what he's saying is not necessarily true. Someone is to give someone else excessive praise. Why are you giving him such excessive praise? It's because they're mahani. I once had an experience, and it was very, very disturbing. And a person walked into the office, and the person behind the desk starts, a person walks, I'm waiting online to go into the office. So I'm next online. A fellow comes out. I know who this guy is. He walks out of the office. I'm not so impressed with him. who am I, right? Who am I to say? I walk into the office. The other person behind the desk starts telling, you see, just came to see me, you walk out of the office. And he starts singing his praises, lavish praise. I was right away choshed. Why are you telling me all this lavish praise? It's because you want me to go and tell him later. Oh, when I went, yeah. Trust me. Let me tell you my story. You can argue. You don't want him there. I'll tell. Maybe this is what he's trying to say. I'm on outside the office. I'm where a guy walks out. Hello, nice to see you. I walk in. The person behind the desk says, okay, says, you came into the office? You see who walked out? I said, yeah, I saw. Do you know who he is? Yeah, oh, you don't know who he really is. Let me tell you. And he starts singing. I'm like, what are you telling me all this for?
He's a big man.
What are you telling all this information for? Then I go out, and something happens, and then I realize what was going on. This is my mind. The person who came into the office before me is a very wealthy person, or comes from a very wealthy family, and the person behind the desk needs him, and he's trying to butter him up, and the way he was trying to butter him up was by singing his praises, so that I should go back and tell him, wow, you know what he said behind your back, he says such nice things about you. I didn't like the whole thing. It really turned me off the wrong way, but basically, that's what he's trying to say. If someone is singing someone else's praises, why? What's the ulterior motive? Is there an ulterior motive here? And if there is, then don't take the praise so seriously. And what's so terrible about praising a person? It can make you jealous. You know, Chazal say you're not allowed to praise someone too much. Because if you praise someone too much, it automatically triggers lashon hara. People get jealous. They get jealous, and they right away say, but yeah, you're right, this fellow is such a great person, he did all this, but you know, he also has a lot of chesroinus. So if in order to prevent me from going into Lashon Hara, getting jealous and hearing all the person's praises, don't take all of the praises so seriously. The only reason why he's praising him is because he has ulterior motive. When I hear someone being praised, I get jealous. So right away, I'm inclined to say, but, yeah, but he's not such a great guy. Once I know in my mind the reason why he's being praised is because that fellow has an ulterior motive, it totally puts me, it disarms me. I no longer have a Yetzer Hara to say, but. Maybe that's what he's saying over here. If someone is singing their someone else's praises, and it's only because the person has to, because he is on the receiving end of that other person's good graces, don't take it so seriously. Don't get all worked up and now turn become a problem.
Maybe here there is praising him, is that correct to go? Or maybe flattering or bribing him.
Exactly what I said here. Next halacha, v'chein, im tishma adam shemaskis Hashem, gerin shuhu roitza l'saber ma osa lo yakadosh baruch hu l'toiva, kach v'kach, al tidaleg v'tikonis l'dvarov, shema yishtoik l'shmoya d'varech v'lo yidaber oi d'varov nimtso, shehiz giris Hashem b'chinim al yadkar. It's a very strange halacha. What he's saying over here is a person, he says Hashem's name mamish. He's praising Hashem. He's reciting Nishmas. And he mentions in Nishmas the Yudke Vavke. And then you come over to him and you say to him, I want to talk to you about something. Let's stop saying Nishmas. So it turns out now that this that he was Mazkir, Hashem's name, goes Livatola, partially Livatola. When you say Hashem's name, you're not going to say Hashem's name in vain. But if you say Hashem's name and you bestow upon it lavish praises, then that is not a chesaron, that is not a saying Hashem's name in vain, that is an expression of kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you are going to stop him short in the middle of a sentence of praising Hashem and veer him on another path and speak about something else, then you have diminished the honor of Hashem, and Hashem's name to a degree has been said in vain. This man was planning on saying Hashem's name and lavishing upon Hashem's name 10 praises. You stopped him in the middle of 5. So now, 5 praises that would have been said to glorify Hashem's name have been suppressed. That is a degree of Hashem's name being said, Levatala. Is this a halacha? Is this a concept? What? That's too simplistic. That's not what it means over here. Read the words. V'cheinim tishm adam shemazgres Hashem. Keep going. Shiroitzel l'saber me'osaloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'toiva. Kach v'kach. So he begins to speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says Hashem's name. That's what says the Mefarshim. He says mazgres Hashem's name. Al tidaleg v'tikones l'dvarav. Do not skip and jump and hop and enter, inject yourself into the middle of his conversation to stop him in mid-sentence and talk about something else. Because Shema Yishtoik, L'shmoya Divarecha, he'll stop in the middle of his sentence. V'lo Yidaber Oid, and he will not continue to discuss the praise of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nimso Shehizgeres Hashem Bechinam Al Yadcha. What do you mean? He was masked. He already said Hashem. He already praised Hashem partially. But being that he was willing to lavish upon Hashem more praises, and you're stopping in a mid-sentence, that is also a degree of causing Hashem's name to be said in vain. Aval, in his gilakalis chaveroi, but let's say you use Hashem's name to curse his friend, then right away inject yourself and stop the conversation so Hashem's name, the curse, should be limited to what he said and should not be expanded with what he has not yet said.
Since, by the way, the Gemara in Brachos talks about things like that, about being mafsik and halel for Kaddish.
Yeah.
So it says, what are you doing? In other words, halel is all about being
praise. Yeah, but it's very specific.
Kaddish is also being
yeah, but it's not what you mean the bracha on.
No, but I'm just saying, so it says, so are you doing something bad? The concept is, the same way.
Okay.
Are
okay.
you doing something better so you could be mafsik only to do if you have something on a higher level? But if you're only accomplishing to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same way here, so continue doing what you're doing or whatever.
Okay,
so,
okay.
In other words, you're still being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu by continuing with the Hallel.
Yeah, but
so you didn't lose anything by not answering.
Yeah, but the bracha was not for the kad. The bracha right. is only for the words of halal. So adding even a different type of praise in the middle of the halal appears to be a hefsek.
Yeah, but that's what it says.
Okay.
The mefarshim on the rush there. That's what it.
I hear the svar. Okay, let's now go to the next halacha. Samach ahei v'tzidkasa is very easy. V'tzidkasa v'eslawad zeh. What does it mean that your tzidkasa is a medes lo'ad? Zeh hamazakeh sarabim. Kagoyin, melamed liyirei Hashem tikun tefillin l'saken la'achayrim. Incredible halacha. What's the lamed is that to teach people how tefillin. People, you teach someone how to be a sofer. You teach someone how to a skill where they in turn can serve others. So your skill lives on. You teach someone how to help someone else. Zemzakes Rabbim, kigun lame to teach liyire Hashem tikun tefillin, how to make tefillin, so that the people who you teach can now go and help other people. We are tefillin l'sakei nach lachedim. Im zochitza es harabim, if a person is mezakei l'rabim, ubo dvar avera al yodcha, v'nitzgabarta al yitzrucha, v'nitzalta himenu, and then an avera comes your way, and you succeed overcoming the yitzhara. Al tachzik toiv liatzmicha ki loy betum levavcha nitzalta ki chasach Hashem oischa nechatolol lefisher zochisus rabim. This is off the charts what he's saying over here. A person wants to fortify himself against the yetzahara in a supernatural way, a way that is really beyond his natural ability. What should he do? He should become a public figure, because it's a bushu chlima for the public that their leader should be doing such horrible averos. So even though a person is very weak, they're very weak and feeble, and if they would be put into a situation, they would immediately stumble and be nichshol. But if they represent a choshev olam, and if he would be nichshol in this avera, what's going to happen in the newspapers? This person, he's the rabbi, he gives a class, he gives a shiur, or he's the rabbi, or he represents this group of people. Who looks bad? Not just the person as an individual looks bad, those people whom he represents look bad. And maybe in Shamayim, it's not meant to be that the people who he represents should suffer the humiliation of being of the public seeing that this person suffered, because it now reflects bad upon them. Therefore, Hashem will grant this person unusual, supernatural siyata d'shmaya, that he should not be nichshol in something which would bring embarrassment upon those people who he represents. This is an incredible concept. If you attach yourself to good people, to whom Hashem, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is looking out for, part of Hashem looking out for them, He'll look out for you. Because if you're going to do something horrible, they're going to be put to shame. They don't deserve to be put to shame. They're such good people. Sometimes they're not such good people, and they deserve it also. And you're the guinea pig, okay? And it doesn't work out good for anyone. But it's an amazing thing. I used to go to Rabbi Shur Shir. I used to go on Sunday, and he would say sometimes these amazing things. Things that, like, you only can say if you have Ruach HaKodesh. And really, I'm not joking, he really says, he's a brilliant, brilliant person, and he says incredible. And he always would say, it's not me. This Chiddush is in the Zuchus of the Rab. It's because the people here, they're yearning to hear Chiddush Torah. I just happened to get lucky to be the vehicle. Hashem put this idea in my mind in order that you should enjoy yourself. You should be pleased with the words of Torah. If not for the people here in the room, never in a million years would I be able to, would I know such a concept. The only reason why I know such a concept, which I can relate, I can give over to you, is in the zuchus of the rabbi. Okay, over here, the Sefer Chassidim is telling you a chiddush, maneuver yourself to be in that position. In other words, take public office. Become a president of the shul, become a gabbai, become a rabbi, become this, become that, because if you'll put yourself in a public position, it's not just you anymore. You are now part of something much greater. And something that's much greater has its own hashkocha, has its own siyata d'shmaya, which will channel down to you because you are part of something greater than yourself. That's the principle he says. And he says in hindsight, if every person he had a situation where something terrible happened, something very, he had a very great success, don't become a balgaiva. Oh, you know why I was successful in this matter? It's because I'm a great person. It has nothing to do with you. It's because you are part of something greater. You're part of a chash of a family. You're part of a chash of a kahila, chash of a shul. And therefore, they don't deserve to suffer the humiliation. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the siyata d'shmaya. And so you come out looking good. You come out at least not suffering the gehenna that you would have gotten for making this horrible mistake. That's a very interesting idea. Okay, another halacha, another very miskal halacha, levana. Loika simin ra lisoneim shel Yisrael. That's a euphemism for Klal Yisrael. A lunar eclipse. A lunar eclipse is not a good sign. We're getting into Nichosh. How can you come in? It's predetermined. A lunar eclipse is something which is from Maisa Bereshis. It's much, much better than a hurricane or an earthquake. Earthquakes, can you say that it's a biological, there's a geological clock in the world that's meant to happen? Who knows? But a lunar eclipse, yes, it's all meant to be. Lunar eclipse is all built into my separations. On this day, on this time, there's going to be a lunar eclipse. So what is the big deal? What is the big deal? So this is a very challenging halacha. Levon eloika, when there's an eclipse, simin ra, it's a bad sign. L'sanem shel Yisrael, unless you want to say that we're not discussing an eclipse. He is discussing some type of unnatural event. Some asteroid that crashes into the moon. I don't know. Some type of, talk about on the sun, sunspots. Are sunspots something which are predictable or they're not predictable? Is it due to carbon emissions? Just joking. That somehow it affects the sun billions of miles away. Who knows how these things work? But what does it mean, loika? Does it mean something that is a freak accident? Or does it mean something which is predictable? And it means that there are times in this world that are not good times. Keep a low profile. Tisha B'Av, okay, Chodesh Av is a time when you keep a low profile. When there is, on the calendar, a lunar eclipse, keep a low profile. It's not a time to go to war and to be successful. Okay, start a new business. Or maybe it doesn't mean that. It means something bizarre, out of ordinary happens. On a day when there's a lunar eclipse, that's what it means, you have to fast. Is this in Shulchan Aruch? Nope, it's not. It's not in Shulchan Aruch. There are enough fast days that we don't do. We don't fast on the yard side of Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't do a lot of things. This is not in Shulchan Aruch. If a person fasts privately for a dream, Kol Shekein B'Shvil Kol Yisrael, when there's a lunar eclipse, certainly how much more so, you should fast for Gan's Klal Yisrael. Okay, we're going to stop over here, and we'll take a break, and we'll continue with some of the laws, in your name of Purim, some interesting things relating to the Chag, the festival. Who?
Dr. Joel Kamenetsky and Rabbi Yaakov. That's his son?
Who's Joel Kamenetsky?
He had a Torah Masorah at the beginning. Shrad Feivel pointed him. And when he walked into Rav Moshe would stand up for him because he founded the yeshiva movement in America before Rav Karpel.
The regular Hebrew day school, all over the United States.
Torah Masorah.
I think it was 40.